Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
UFC Unfiltered. I hope you enjoy it today. We got Frankie Edgar on the phone, Shane Burgos on the phone, and we do Game of Thrones. I almost said Game of Spoilers. Game of Thrones spoilers. So if you didn't see this one, watch it and then listen, because we don't want to hear you complain.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
So happy to see. Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. I should be a professional.
Yes.
So good to see Matt and Chris, the producer.
Oh.
And just to let you know what we got going on today, we have a couple of callers competing for our affection.
Oh, yeah?
Frankie Edgar is calling in very shortly, and who we love a lot, and Shane Burgos. So I'm not sure if we've had Shane on. He won a split decision, which is definitely questionable whether or not that should have been a split decision. Over Cub Swanson in the co-main.
Yeah,
in,
well, not Ottawa. Maybe not questionable that it was a split decision, but definitely questionable that, Cub won three rounds. I mean, I think that was silly. But.
Well, I seen Shane this weekend.
I still question this.
First of all, love Frankie Edgar.
Yes.
Love him, love him, love him. And I can't wait to talk to him. Shane, a nice kid. You know, I seen him this weekend. You know, he's with the Tiger Showman brothers there.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah.
And those guys are an underrated team because they put out some, you know, Jimmy Rivera, Burgos, Uriah Hall. Before, I mean, I know they went separate ways, but he was trained under them.
Uriah left them?
Oh, yeah. Something happened right after. I don't know, man. I'm not a washwoman.
You know what I mean? I love gossip. I want to be in the backyard with you over a hedge talking about what happened with Uriah Hall.
It's true, Jimmy. Crazy weekend.
Yeah.
Crazy weekend. You know, it's weird when the guys fight, you know, our guys, and there's more than one. You know, we had Merab and also, of course, Raging Al, the main event versus Cowboy Cerrone. And, you know, it's like mixed emotions when you got something going like that, on like this. Like Merab, first of all, I don't know what you guys want to,
We can start with Merab, who was so dominating.
Let's do it like it went in order here. So for my night, you know, we had Merab first, you know, obviously.
Dvalishvili, correct?
Say it again?
Dvalishvili?
Dvalishvili.
Dvalishvili.
Dvalishvili, okay.
Dvalishvili. Get your, seriously, Jimmy, it's my friend.
Dvalishvili. It's a tough name to say.
Merab Dvalishvili. Right?
No, Dvalishvili.
I love that kid.
It's
I don't
all
give
good.
A
Marat.
Fuck.
Yeah.
The machine. And by the way, that is his nickname now. You saw that was up there.
It's cool,
And what a fitting nickname. He's like a, like if the Terminator was just shorter and Georgian, it would be Merab. Hold on a second. This is just a.
Why? Well, that was a good Terminator.
Was it a really?
Yeah.
But it was more of a statement than a joke.
I hope so.
I love Merab, man. He's such a, the energy this kid brings to just everything.
He seems to be enjoying himself even when he first walks in.
He's, dude, and for, I mean, he was, now look, let's talk about Brad Katana he was fighting.
Yeah.
You know, undefeated, man.
That's right.
Undefeated. You know what camp he's out of?
SBG.
I know. So, I mean, you know, they got some clout. They train with that. They train that Conor McGregor guy, right? Listen. Dangerous guy, undefeated until Saturday night when he ran into Merab. Nice kid, by the way, and nothing but respect. And he's a game fighter. But I'm so so happy for Merab. I mean, the work that he puts in, it's funny because we were going over the different scenarios with Brad. Because, you know, he's good everywhere. You know, you've seen, I mean, he took out, you know, Matt Lopez. I don't think it was by Matthew. But who we found on Looking for a Fight, who was a very dangerous fighter, close fight. But it ended with him almost strangling, or he did strangle him. I don't know if he went out, but he was almost out.
Yes, I know.
He had him, like, in a crucifix. He put out another guy with the, I forget who else, with the rear naked choke. I mean, listen, he's been doing work, obviously, Brad Katona.
Oh, yeah.
And
won the Ultimate Fighter, yeah.
No, the Contender Series. Oh, was no, Ultimate Fighter? I'm sorry.
Did, yeah.
What was it?
Yeah, it was the Ultimate Fighter.
It was the Ultimate Fighter. He wasn't on the Contender? What the hell did
no,
I watch?
No, and he actually... He finished Bryce Mitchell, or a friend of the show.
Oh, that's what I'm... Okay. Yeah. All the different things, they blend in together. And Bryce Mitchell's a stud, as you've seen.
Yeah.
I love that guy, too. I really like that guy. I can't throw the word love around too much.
Yeah, you don't over.
I love you, Jimmy. I love Rob. Yeah, I like that kid, Bryce, a lot.
You love your I said, I love you.
All right.
You love your family?
Nice. Throw the family in there right away because you made eye contact when you said you love me.
I didn't mean it like that.
We're platonic buddies.
Yeah, we're friends. Fist bumps.
What was I saying?
We that? Kiss our fists and then bump them.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's what you guys do.
Well, we do our own thing. That's what we do.
Yeah. Men do.
So, you know, oh yeah, so when we going over some different scenarios and some different stuff, Merab just, you know, he said, like, hey, I'm used to training with Aljo. You know, and Aljo and him, what a blessing for both these guys to have each other. I mean, holy shit, man. If you watch their sparring sessions, I mean, and in the beginning, too, I mean, and Merab says that Aljo used to just have his way with him when Merab came in feeling like he was indestructible. But he's such a great grappler, Aljo, that he would just get him in that realm, and it was hard to fight him off. But since then, you know, they have very competitive, you know, sparring. And, you know, because he had to really work on a lot of his, not saying weakest area, but where somebody could maybe take him down and mount him and maybe control him. And they don't, that's not there anymore because of Aljo, because of their training together. Iron strangles iron in some cases. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another one. I'm going to press that button again.
Why? Iron strangles iron.
It's a statement. Sharpens, but I put a little jujitsu twist on it.
Iron sharpens iron.
A little jujitsu twist on it.
It's close enough.
A little jujitsu twist on it.
Yeah.
Jimmy, what do you think of my little jujitsu twist on that little iron sharpens iron?
I'm going to give Frankie Edgar a call.
Yeah. Please do. Please do. I'm coming at it.
We're going to quote Matt.
This is like a rough first round for me.
Why? We're going to quote you. That was a good quote. I didn't even realize you were doing it was a iron sharpens iron. Once you said that,
it was a
I felt like
twist.
One of Khaleesi's dragons.
Oh, wow. Dragons are dropping like flies,
they
man.
Sure are. They're dropping like dragonflies.
You know what's funny? When I first saw one of those big crossbows.
We got Frankie on the show.
This is the great Frankie.
I hope so.
Let's ask him.
Hi, Frankie.
Hey, what's up, fella?
Hey, buddy. We were about to go down a nerd alley talking about Game of Thrones, so you saved us.
Frankie, do you watch Game of Thrones or no?
I do.
You do? Dude, did you see it? You saw it over the weekend?
I have, yep.
Man, the fucking dragons are dropping like flies, no?
I know, man. They kind of built them up for nothing, you know?
I mean, listen, back in the day, Aegon conquered the Seven Kingdoms with two dragons. Sorry,
right. Yeah,
sorry
right,
to throw that at you early.
But wasn't it great though that they had the fucking nice music, and then all of a sudden out of the blue that fucking arrow comes. It was arrows.
The first one.
Yeah.
Do you think they really had those arrows back in the day? Those are pretty serious.
They didn't have dragons either though.
Jimmy,
this is true.
Jimmy always points that out when I try to point out the logic.
But no, I do. Frankie just did what I do all the time. Like look at these weird things that we look for consistency, like when the dragons were dive bombing and like Khaleesi and Jon Snow are holding on. I'm like, they would fly off. And I'm like, they're a dragon. Yeah. What the fuck am I talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a skill to train. They're Targaryens. But no, all right, we're going to get back to the fighting in 1 second. But did you think that dragon was going to die when it first got shot? Or did you say, all right, this might make it out, but they got that fucking thing in the throat and it was done.
Finished.
Yeah, I thought it was just over.
Now, do you get choked up watching stuff like this? Do you ever get choked up watching TV?
Nah, man, I'm cold as hell.
Hey, you know what? That's funny, because I thought maybe with your kids, and you take your kids to the movies or no?
I do, yeah.
Did you?
I mean, it's my excuse to get out of the house to go to, you know, watch a superhero movie. But actually, my kids got to go.
Did you? I know. Dude, what's sad about that is, Frankie, is that for myself, I took my kids to see Avengers Endgame the other day. But before we took them, me and my wife went to see it ourselves before that when they were in school. So I'm just a fucking geek. And you saw the...
I told my kids, I know kids, they all spoil it for something. Listen, you come home, you know anything. Better not tell me. I had to give them the rundown.
Did you take them to see that? The Avengers Endgame?
Me? Talking to me?
Yes, yeah, you. Yeah. Not Jimmy. Yeah, Jimmy don't have no kids.
I don't have kids.
That's the one I said I took them and I told them I had to give them the rundown. Do not tell me what happened.
Frankie, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I'm glad. I'm happy because I went again and I seen it already. But now I went with my kids, my wife, and then Uncle Edwin wanted to go. Their uncle, he likes that stuff too. And I'm going to tell you, Frankie, I'm glad I had those 3D glasses on because I'm not going to give any spoilers. But when a couple of those heroes got it, it was Niagara Falls, Frankie boy. So sad.
No, it was sad. It was. I definitely, but I'm not going to cry. My kids were there. There's no way I'm crying in front of my kids.
Yeah. Well, you're a bigger man than me, Frankie. Well, you got little boys, too. My girls could be like, oh, daddy's a softy. You know, your kids will be like, hey, dad, man up, man.
Yeah.
Frankie.
I'm a blubbering idiot when I watch TV.
I thought you just meant in general. You're not a blubbering idiot.
Oh, I am, yeah, for TV. It's weird. I can stand over the casket of someone I know and feel nothing, but something on television gets me every time.
All right, note to self, Jimmy. If I go before you, don't go to my fucking wake.
It's not that I don't care. I it doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
TV feels real. What did Jimmy Lannister say to after he fucked a big tall lady? What did he say to What did he say to her about Cersei? He said she's something, and so am I.
Hateful.
She's very hateful, right?
No, hateful.
Hateful. Evil. Yeah.
Yeah. Hateful. She's hateful, and so am I. It was a great line.
Is he going back to the helper?
Yeah,
is he...
I don't know. That's what I was wondering. Is he going back to helper, or is he going back to kill her? Like, we're both hateful. I got to go kill her and sacrifice myself. I don't know.
Well, maybe he wants to go back and give her just one good hate fuck.
Yeah, one last Rogering.
One good licking.
Well, either he wants to watch the giant night fucker. I love that guy.
The mountain.
Yeah.
Let's get back to some.
All right, so Frankie, you don't have anything lined up right now.
Man, I'm waiting on Max to heal up and hopefully get that down.
You know, we've been saying for a while that you taking that fight against Brian Ortega. I mean, every fighter respected that. You know, and you didn't have to take that. You just wanted to get in there and fight. But were you a little bothered you didn't get the shot after that, or did you understand why it went to Brian?
Oh, yeah, I understood why it went to Brian, for sure, at that moment, you know. But, I mean, I think the time is right now. You know, he went up to Poirier, you know, went up to 55. Him and Poirier put an amazing fight. But now he wants to come back and defend. I think I'm the guy that has to do it, man. I gave up my opportunity before. I put on a line. That's the type of person I am. So, you know, I think I should be... That should be taken consideration.
Well, you know, it's one of those things, too, where it makes logical business sense because you and Max have not fought. And also, Aldo has fought him, I think, twice. And he's fighting, obviously, Alexander Volkanovski. And so you're the next guy because Ortega just fought him. So who else is there besides you?
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, I think it's perfect timing. And, you know, I feel like Holloway kind of respects the fact that I jumped in, I risked that title shot. And, you know, everything I've kind of accomplished in my career, I think Holloway would want to fight someone like myself. So I don't think he'd be opposed to it either.
No, that would be a great fight. I think everybody wants to see that fight.
And styles make fights, man. You can't look at it like, you know, Frankie had a couple of battles with Jose, which didn't go his way. And then you look, oh, well, Max beat Jose. But that's not MMA math. Styles make fights. I think Frankie's style versus Max, I mean, you know, that could be hell for Max, you know? I mean... Or maybe not. That's why we need to see this fight, man. And Frankie's done enough to earn this shot.
Yep.
Not only by stepping up to take that fight with Ortega, but just about what he's done. Former champion. I mean, look at all the names, the legends he's beaten. Yeah, Frankie, I'm with you, man. I want to see this fucking fight.
My man, Matty. Thank you. I agree with you. And, you know, I'm game. I think the I'm nothing like the last three guys he fought. I'm nothing like any one of them, so. You know, I'm intrigued by this matchup, and I think a lot of people would be, and, you know, I'm ready to put on a show.
I agree, man. I mean, that could main event That could be a main event right there, obviously.
I also think you'd give him a problem, too. Not that Max can't handle himself on the ground, but, I mean, when you look at what you and Yair, I mean, I think that could be a real problem for Max. So, I mean, I'm sure he would take the fight, but I think he'd have a good shot at winning that fight.
No, thanks. Thank you. I love the support, fellas.
No, but it's like, I mean, it is intriguing, though. Like, listen, he had a rough time up at 155. He's going back down. It's the obvious choice, man. I don't know what is stopping it. Does anybody know? I mean, why can't we make this?
I think we're just kind of waiting on to see how Max is feeling. You know, obviously, he's had a pretty good war not too long ago. Once he's back ready to go, I think me and him are going to get down. That's what I envision.
Okay. Have you been hurt, Frankie? Because you haven't fought since Cub Swanson.
Yeah, you know, I was supposed to fight in December. I tore my bicep at the end of October, and it was a pretty rough recovery, actually. But for the past, you know, month, I've been, doing everything 100%, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to book a fight.
How'd you tear your bicep?
Just getting ready for a fight. I threw a left hook, didn't even land it, and it just went on me, you know, kind of freak accident.
Oh, you got the surgery, or no?
I didn't get the surgery. It went back. Like, it didn't go roll all the way back. It went back a little bit. I tore both. I tore one completely, and one was like the other one was like full thickness or something. Not a complete tear.
Yeah.
So I got some stem cell treatment and just let it heal on its own. But it took about 6 months to heal 100%.
What do they do? They shoot stem cells into it, and that just kind of regrows what's been damaged.
I guess, yeah. You know, I'm not the I had it done in my shoulder. It worked, so I wanted to give it a shot with this. And it still took a very long time to heal. I was hoping it would be a little sooner, but that's why I'm finally able to do everything now.
Now, what is stem cell like? Is that just, you have to leave the country for that, or can you do that here?
No, I did it here. Did it in the U.S.
Okay, because I know Germany does a lot of those. I think...
Panama is the other place.
Panama, too? Yeah.
Why? They're just allowed to do more there?
No, Panama, they clone stem cells. I don't think you're allowed to clone the stem cells in the U.S.,
why?
You're not allowed to alter the stem cells. No, it's stupid. It's stupid shit, for sure.
Oh.
Sure, someone's going to make some money, but, yeah.
Oh, okay, so they're allowed to clone them and make more of them, I guess? It's a stupid question.
I guess they can clone, but this is what I hear. Again, I'm not, you know,
yeah.
I don't know 100%, but the guy down there, he found the perfect stem cell, golden stem cell, I think he calls it, and he clones that one, so he puts, like, I don't know how many stem cells, but when he injects you, he's injecting with the best stem cells over and over and over. Whereas, I think in America, they just have good stem cells, but they don't know how good, I guess, if that makes sense.
That's my next fucking step, man. My knees blow. Fucking.
I hear in Panama, though, that's where it's at, man. I know. I hear a bunch of people went down there, a bunch of fighters went down there, and even the arthritis stuff with your knee, I imagine.
Really? Really? For the arthritis,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, the marijuana can only do so much for me, Frankie. I need some stem cells.
How long, Frankie, just what do they do? They inject you, and then what's the process? You have to go back again, or how long does it take?
Like when I had my shoulder done, it took like 6 weeks. I started noticing it feeling a lot better. My shoulder was just arthritis. But for the bicep, it took a while. I tried training through it. I'm sure that was my problem a little bit, too. I was overtraining. But it took, you know, really long to get to where I needed it to be. But finally, I don't know if it was just time or the stem cells, but I was willing to throw anything at it at that point.
But do they know how many treatments do you have to go for? Or is it just one injection?
Just one.
Oh.
One injection, yep.
And I guess it takes a while for the cells to grow and to kind of do what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Oh, I should
I'd like to get my shoulder. Yeah, my shoulder. I'll probably get my shoulder done again eventually. I don't know if it works like that, but I don't know if more is better. But I'm that type of guy, so I'm willing to give it a shot.
Do you have to pay for that out of pocket, or does insurance cover that?
Insurance covers some of it. Some of you got to pay out of pocket.
I'm gonna look into
depends.
That. All right.
Out of the country, I imagine you're paying for it all.
Yeah, I'm sure you. I wonder how much it is to go to Panama and get that done.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't have any sports injuries, but who doesn't need a better erection at 50? Let's not know that.
Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah,
some people, I haven't heard injecting it to their bra zone.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So what happens with that?
I think they say you get the you know, it's like Cialis. You freaking rock hard on.
For how long, though? Oh, just when you need it?
Just I can't be. When I gotta, you do, when you do.
That's oh, good, heard, good. Because, you know, I'm doing a lot of jiu-jitsu.
I love half information. You want half information? I'm the guy.
You are funny. That's what I do. I'll listen to some of Rogan's podcasts when he has a scientist on. and I'll say a little something. Somebody will do a follow-up question. I'll be like, you got to watch that fucking episode. I don't know. Now, listen, this weekend we got Aldo fighting Volkanovski. Are you? What do you think about that fight?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Aldo seems to be showing up lately, you know. And this Volkanovski guy, he's tough, too. I don't know, man. It's a toss-up for me. Like I said, I'll always side with Aldo just because of what he's done. But Volkanovski could definitely make some noise.
Yeah, well, I think the fight to make would be, I would love to see you and Max, and then maybe the winner of Aldo Volkanovski gets the champion, because I want to see you get the next shot. So hopefully Max will be okay, and we'll hear about this soon, man. We really think you deserve it.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, Frankie. Well, thanks for calling. Anytime you want to call, man, we love talking to you. And
or even come in, man.
Yeah, come in whenever you like. No, you're right over in Jersey.
Come on. I got to go. Max, hey, I'm headed up to the city right now. We're going to the, I'm in the car going to the beat the street. So we're at Florida.
Oh, man, we could have had him in today, Chris the producer.
Yeah.
I'm just giving. I like to give Chris the producer shit. Next time, dude, if you want to bring in Chris Ligori or go with some war stories. I always like to throw the story some shine.
We got
to
do that. Absolutely.
Mark Henry, whoever, man. Your whole clique, man. Oh, you like them all.
All right, we'll make it happen.
Even that Ricardo Almeida guy.
Yeah, I was there this morning working with him.
Oh, that's my man.
He's the man.
All right, Frankie, man. Thanks for bullshitting with us, buddy.
See you soon, man.
Always good talking to you.
All right, take care, Frankie.
All right, man. We got some Game of Thrones talk.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. And now, this is a little movie talk, because I want to give you a little break for a second, Jimmy. Sit back, relax, have a cauliflower pretzel.
They're all gone.
They are gone.
How about the other one? Did I hear?
Yes, you can have one of these. Coconut, vanilla, organic.
No, say organic. That's
organic. More organic. This is the thing. In the Justice League movie, I've been thinking about this. Now, I'm not going to talk about who died in the Avengers movie, Jimmy. I don't want to give any spoilers, even though it's been out. But, you know. But this is the deal.
Well, now.
A big superhero died at the end of it. You know, he took one for the team. And when I say team, I mean the world, because he saved the world, like Avengers do. And it was very emotional. And then I thought about it. I'm like, wait a minute. In Justice League, Superman died. And no one gave a shit. No one gave a shit. No one gave a shit. I didn't give a fuck. Oh, this somber music. Oh, he thought he took it. He had to sacrifice himself. And he took that thing and he took the spear and I even forgot how he died. It was lame.
We're all a little sick of Superman.
Well, I mean, but the point is this. It should have been emotional, but it wasn't. Do you know why it wasn't, Jimmy?
No one gave a shit.
Well, you know, Jimmy, nice. I didn't know you could belt that at two. And I'm proud of you, Jimmy. Jimmy.
I don't know why.
Well, this is why. They had nobody was attached by this motherfucker. I mean, yeah, you read the comic books. Yeah, you had the Man of Steel movie, which was cool. I like that. And then you seen him a little bit in Superman versus Batman versus Superman, which was some people didn't like. Some people
I heard
liked.
It was a real pile of shit.
You know, there's some stuff, fun stuff to watch. It's not a feel-good movie, but But, you know, you got all this stuff. And it's like, you know, you didn't give. I'm not going to say who. I don't want to give that away.
Sure.
I almost did. But these guys, with these Marvel movies, it's like a decade, literally a decade of these movies since Iron Man came out. So when this character died, a couple of them, but one of them, both of them, but I don't want to say names, but one of them died. Yeah.
Jeff and
Pete. It's like when Bob died, it was like, it was emotional because you had this 10-year journey, man. I forgot how many Marvel movies there were, but they're all, and even when it's not this person's movie, he makes appearances in other ones. And you feel like you got an investment, Jimmy. An investment with your heart.
Watching some guy with a cape get a magic emerald thrown at him.
It's not a cape!
Whatever it is. A shield, a special hat.
Jimmy.
A fly machine.
Jimmy.
Oh, look, the man's throwing infinity rocks. Shut up.
That's not the point. The point is that he sacrificed himself.
Yeah, good for him.
All right, people. So that's my difference.
And a man's bowling infinity rocks, knocking over the city movies. With infinity bricks.
Anyway, infinity stones, people.
Oh, there should be gems if people are true to the comics.
Really?
Infinity gems.
Ooh, you're so cool. Avengers, assemble. You like that movie, Jimmy?
No, I never saw it.
You want to go see it? You got 3 hours to kill today?
I would actually. I heard it was great.
It's fun.
And I'd watch the lead up ones. I just don't care.
Oh
yeah, I actually
not to be a dick.
I prefer the first part to the second part because like. You know what's going to happen, kind of.
Oh, no.
You know, when you go to see
the Hulk got arrested for blowing someone in a rest area? What happened?
Indecency.
That's what they should have done.
You're so silly, dude.
Hulk pokes a hole through the fucking stall door.
Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about, Marab?
Yeah, well, why don't we go over our picks? I mean, we could talk about it.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Marab.
And we also got to talk about Al.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
Plenty
to talk about. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk about.
This was not good for the picks, by the way, if anybody wants.
All right, let's go through the whole thing.
I'd rather not.
Guys, I hate to say it. I was in the back. I saw Walt Harris's fight, and he was in the locker room with us, and I told him I picked him.
That's nice.
And I told him that Jimmy picked the other guy.
Did I really?
I don't know if you did or not, but I told him that.
I don't think I did.
And Walt Harris goes, can I come in studio? I go, dude, I want you to talk to Jimmy and let him know that you're not happy.
But I have a reason.
Look at Walt Harris. Look at that picture.
I'll tell him why
he's coming in to talk to you.
Because I'm stupid.
First of all, I'm bullshitting. That never happened.
You could have.
But I did tell him I picked him.
I would tell Walt if I picked against him, and I'd say I was stupid.
Yeah.
They got dispensaries.
I didn't win one fight. I was a bloodbath.
No, you did. You won one, exactly one. You had the machine, Marab.
Oh, that's right. I did have Marab by decision.
You did.
Points for Daddy.
That's right.
Let's start.
So why don't we? Well, all right. So the opening fight on the main card of our picks was Marc-Andre Barrio versus Andrew Sanchez.
Yes.
Okay. Jimmy Norton had Barrio by first round knockout. Yep. You had second round knockout by Barrio, Matt, and I had Andrew Sanchez by decision, which is what ended up happening. Very competitive fight, fun fight, two tough guys, and that was Barrio's debut, which looked impressive in his first. Yeah. Well, fight, but I think Sanchez's experience in his wrestling kind of
sure.
Good job, Andrew Sanchez, and good fight.
All right, and then we were just talking about Walt Harris and Sergey Spivak.
Yep.
Spivak. I think it's Spivak.
Well, I don't know if Spivak is going to be back because that was. I'm having trouble today, Jimmy. I can't find my legs. My jokes can't find their legs. Okay, we're back. Jimmy, sometimes you little bird, you just got to look at me. It makes me happy. I don't know why, Jimmy. I don't know if Sam Roberts ever told that to you.
Never.
He'd be happy. All right.
He wouldn't admit it.
Walt Harris looked amazing. He did, man. He was on fire. I was in the locker room with him, and I was afraid he was going to, he was picking up. I think it was Eric Anders, actually. That's who it was.
Yeah, he was in his corner.
Yes, he was with him. Yeah. And I said hello to him. I didn't recognize him first. He had the jiu-jitsu haircut, nice tight haircut. Anyway, I go, so I said hello to him. But I'm like, look at him. He's just like picking him up and slamming him down. I go, fuck, man, I hope he doesn't land on Marab because Marab was warming up on the thing next to him. But he looked great in the locker room. And he just looked focused, Walt Harris, man. Yeah. He looked like a man on a mission.
His boxing looked really good.
Spivak didn't like it.
No, he did not.
And that was his debut, unfortunately, for
Sergey Spivak. Did not. He kind of fell down and covered up. A little like the guy whose name I do not remember, Dom something, whatever, the giant upper body.
DeLuise.
Who just lost. No. Dom DeLuise, and he lost to Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
In a way like that, he just kind of covered up and fell down.
This guy's got to get the balls back, man.
Yeah, but Spivak definitely took a hard. Whatever, you're comparing shots. But I mean, Spivak got. Hit a few times.
And two knees to the fucking face.
That was a legit.
And Walt Harris, he's not a little guy.
No, he's not.
No.
But so who picked what? I know what I picked.
You had Walt Harris by third round KO, so you get 2 points for that.
I had Harris by knees in the first.
You had Sergey Spivak by second round submission.
Yeah. Walt Harris, hold on. Walt Harris is listening. Could you let him know what Jimmy picked?
Yeah, yep. he had his opponent by second round submission. He thought he was.
I did. I'm a fool.
No, it's okay.
And then I took the big ticket, Walt Harris, by second round knockout. He did it in the first round.
You get the same points as me.
He called out, by the way, Big Pretty afterward. He doesn't like him. He thinks he's beatable. He wants to beat him up.
So. I like that fight.
What's Walt Harris?
Because Big Pretty's got a mouth on him, too.
He does.
Big Pretty called up here, and he got a little. It was funny because
he got shitty with Jamie.
A little shitty with Jamie. Not overly shitty, but how's this? Hold on. My friend, what's your name? Jamie English? Okay, Jamie English. My man, maybe you didn't do your research on me. So that's kind of the route.
Was he joking?
No, I think he's just a cocky dude.
Yeah. But dude, I don't give a fuck. These guys fight in a cage. I don't mind if some of them are cocky. Yeah. Good.
What did he
Jamie was asking about Walt, about Justin's. Justin Wilson. He was asking about his mentality. Obviously, he's like.
But the way he said it was so complimentary. It was like, and Jamie's so soft spoken. That's what made it worse. He's like, Hey, mate, I seen you're very focused. And he used some big words. And he's just saying how he's like, were you always so mentally strong? And that's when he kind of was just like, my man, what's your name? Wait, who's this? And I'm like, wait, what? Yeah. The fuck are you shitting on him?
Well, this is why Justin's wrong. Because sometimes when you're asking an interview question, you're asking because you know the answer, but you're asking a question, so you're not just you give the other guy a chance to answer the question.
You want the world to know. You're trying to get something out of him for everybody to know, not just for you to know. So, and poor Jamie's like, you know, he's just a nice dude.
He thought it was funny though. I mean, he enjoyed it.
Yeah, first of all, he's not gonna. Jamie's a laid back dude, man. Right. With killer elbows.
Well, I'm not picking a fight with Justin Willis over something that happened with him and Jamie. No. Not my fucking business.
By the way, defend answer him,
huh?
You're not going to say, oh, Big Pretty, calm down.
I didn't hear it.
You wouldn't say
if
that?
If I was here, I might have said something.
Okay, good.
If he was here, I wouldn't have.
To answer your question, Walt Harris is 12-7-1, no contest.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I like me some Walt Harris.
He looked good.
He did. He looked really good. All right. We can, again, touch on Katona and Marab. You actually mentioned a stat or whatever.
Oh,
something
did
that
I?
Sent you before.
Wait a second. Now, hold on.
According to MMA by the Numbers, which is at Numbers MMA on Twitter, through only four UFC fights, Merab Dvalishvili's 27 takedowns landed are already the most in UFC bantamweight history.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Yes,
yes, Merab. Ferocious the machine, Merab. You look at his UFC career here, and he could be undefeated in the UFC easily.
Yeah.
You know, the one was a tough decision. The other one was a little controversial with him at the bell. I mean, you know, listen. And then they give him this undefeated kid, and I believe it was the last fight on his career, on his contract.
And he said that when in his post fight speech.
So yeah, he wants. Listen, he wants to fight the this kid. Both him and Al. We know there's one thing we know when they're you never know. For sure that your guy is going to win because you're not stupid. You know this game that we play. You know, there's so many, there's so many things put into it that it's just, you can't just be, you could be as confident as you want to be with your guy. But there is one thing that I'll bet the bank on, and that's just that the two guys that fought that under us, Al and Marab, they are coming to fight tooth and nail. And like a lesser guy, and I'll talk about Al for a second here. Unless a guy would have been out of there, you know, if he got banged up.
What round did he get dropped in? He got dropped twice. It was the first time in his career, I think. And it was a hard shot he got hit by. And what round was that? Third round?
They ball right now. I didn't watch it since I've been there.
The front kick. I thought that was
No. He got a punch.
First
and then the front kick was later.
The first two rounds were extremely close.
Almost dead even.
You know what I mean? So, you know, then, you know. It got a little worse and what I mean a little worse is I think it was closer than what people think. Besides Al gets, you know, he got cut up, you know, but Al did land some nice shots.
Yeah.
And to Cowboy's credit, he took it. I can't listen. First of all, nothing but respect for Cowboy and his team. I love that Joe Schilling too. He bought me and Longo a couple of drinks after that night. We had a couple of drinks with him. I always like that Joe Schilling. Nice. Very good dude, talented guy. And it was nothing but respect all week between all of us. I ran to Cowboy a few times. His kid is adorable.
Yeah, I saw the video you posted of his kid.
Oh, my goodness. That's Marab that took that video. But what a cute kid. No, listen, nothing but respect. I saw Cowboy a couple times that week, you know, gave him a hug. You know, he's been in here a few times. We know the guy. I mean, but, you know, obviously you're a guy. Like, you know, I'll ride through hell with my guys. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's just tough when, you know, when it doesn't go your way and you're just with these guys. This is one. Since we're talking about this, the mentality of Aya Quinta is just something to be said for that. And I was talking to his father, who's a longtime coach, Jay Aya Quinta. And this is I wanted to bring this up. I actually took a picture of it, so I remembered exactly what he said to me. Because I said to him, like, you know, we were going back and forth. You know, we were at the hospital with Al a little bit. Then after a while, he still had more tests to get done. After a while, me and Longo took off. And then I gave a couple texts back and forth with his father, Jay. And his father, Jay, is a longtime high school football coach in Long Island. He's known, you know what I mean, as a really good coach. And this is what he wrote. We went back and forth, and, you know, after I, you know, wrote something where, you know, you know, hope he's not, what was it? Hope he's not in that much pain. And the journey home is a smooth one, that type of thing. And then he wrote, you know, things were going a little too smoothly. It was time for a little adversity. I fucking like that. That's an Aya Quinta for you. Look at that.
Yeah, it's a winner's.
Things were going a little too smoothly. It was time for a little adversity. Dude, that gave me chills. I'm like, man, fuck yeah, Jay. Just like with his son. I'm sitting there going, fuck yeah, Mr. Aya Quinta. I controlled myself. But it was, that moved me, man. I'm like, that is such a, you know why? Because if you look at Al's, how many fights was he just murking people, hurting people?
Yeah.
And then the two of them went the distance. One with Khabib, where he literally didn't have a scratch. He didn't have stitches. Didn't have anything. Nothing. He didn't get cut, you know, maybe a little glue on the face or something, but nothing that required stitches. Right. And then you look at his fight with Kevin Lee. It's a fucking clinic. He had some bad positions we had to get out, play smart with, but look at that show he put on. Look at that performance. And then not to mention the other guys he, like, fucking put to sleep.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, for his dad to write that is like, that's the mentality. That's where this, the apple doesn't, the tree. You know,
apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
You know, I mean, this is the mentality these Aya Quintas have.
What
I
do you think
that.
It was? Because it looked like they were so even through the first two. And then Cowboy was throwing some good combinations. And he just seemed like he had, the leg kicks were seemed like they were starting to add up. Even though Al threw a lot of leg kicks too. I was surprised he threw as many as he did.
Threw a couple of high kicks.
Yeah, he threw some kicks. Was it the fact, Cowboy's length, you think that was just, or was it the legs?
I mean, I was in the back with Al after, and he's like, man, I couldn't get off, you know? And then, you know, we'll let him talk more about whatever else he wants to say about it, you know? I don't want to, you know, start quoting a guy right after a fucking 5-round battle. I don't know where his head's at, you know? But that was one of the things. But, you know, hey, the next day you see Merab posting something with him. He's in the wheelchair going around in a circle. I mean, listen, man, we know what we're involved with. Like we know what we're getting into. You know, we know how a good night could be glorious and a bad night could not be so much. You know what I mean? I am super. I'm really, really happy that he got that fight of the night bonus. You know what I mean? That could cushion the blow a little bit.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm telling you, man, I don't even think Raging Al's stock went down. Everybody's saying how tough the guy is.
Yep.
You know? And Cowboy on good nights put people away, you know? And it's not that I'm happy Al, we're not there just to get through it. But, you know, Cowboy has a rough night. He's been taken out before. Everybody knows what this game, you know, consists of, you know? And we're not holding our heads down low. I tell Al too, and Al knows, man. Hold your head up high, dude. There's not. I mean, that guy has nothing to be ashamed of.
And he took that one kick, the ball of the foot, that fucking kick to the chin. I mean, that was like the way Silva was. That Vittori kicked like that. I mean, that's almost exactly like that. And Al dropped down and he got back up. I thought that was the end of the fight. I mean, that was a perfect fucking kick to the chin.
Yeah, and that's you're absolutely right. I mean. Cowboy did land some like legitimate shots where if it's a, I don't want to say lesser fighter, but a different fighter in there, the fight might be over. Al just kept coming, you know, and that's to his detriment, right? I mean, he takes more damage because he's so tough, but he is that guy.
And Cowboy's chin held up too.
Yeah.
I mean, Al was in the fight. By all means, he was in that fight. You know, he landed some shots, and Cowboy took them. You know, hey man. No pun intended, but it's not his Cowboy's first rodeo, Jimmy.
Oh for four.
Jimmy Cowboy. It's not his first. Anyway,
Matt, can I ask you this, Matt? Actually, because we're talking about this fight. So before the
sometimes no reaction's the best reaction.
I don't know what
Jimmy
you're
just
saying.
You can just ignore me
after last week's episode because you didn't say what your picks were.
Yes,
because obviously you could give something away. You did have Raging Al by first round knockout, and we had talked about it a little bit before you left, and you were saying, you know, Cowboy's known to be a little bit of a slow starter sometimes. Maybe
and by the way, it's not like it's the game plan for Al to go out there and just knock him out.
No, of course.
Al's got such a killer instinct that when he gets somebody hurt, and Al did have him, not on ice skates, but he did have him.
Yeah.
He hurt him a couple times where it's like, oh, shit. And then, you know, didn't get the follow-up, you know, but to Cowboy's credit, you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, but I had that in mind when I saw Cowboy talking after the fight, and he said that had Al really rushed him in the first round, he felt like he could have been in trouble because warming up, he just couldn't get in a rhythm, Cowboy was saying, and he didn't really start feeling it until the second round. Then he was like, okay, now he started to get his legs, yeah, started landing some kicks. So it was just interesting that was your call for the, you know, how it would go. And Cowboy actually said kind of a similar thing.
That must suck when you feel like you're in a warm-up and you're like, I know I got to go out and fight and I can't get...
Yeah,
but what Cowboy said right there, there's times you feel like that and you have your best performances.
Right.
It's a weird thing. That's why you can't get too caught up in the routine of things, because if something messes up with the routine, Thug Rose said that everything was, she went to go out, they played the wrong walkout song and this and that, and you just gotta roll. You can't be OCD when it comes to that.
You can't be married to any one part of the ritual.
Damn. I could be married.
Well, yeah, in that sense, sure, but not to the ritual.
And I can get my freak on.
You should.
Yeah! When the fucking Kimora Savage comes home after a few days on the road.
That's right, Kimora Lad.
Put the kids to bed! What?
The Kimora Lad comes back.
No, Jimmy.
The bucko has arrived.
Kimora bucko is
talking about me in bed.
Oh. In bed. The Kimora shrimp.
Oh, I hit the longo applause. All right.
Well, now, so anyway, just fallout from that fight. Obviously, people are talking about, again, a possible Connor-Cowboy fight. I mean, what are our thoughts on this? I mean, to me, it only makes sense, really, for Cowboy to fight a Gaethje or a Connor next.
That would be, like I said, the four people in this, or three, is Al, Connor, and Gaethje. Any combination of that, and now Cowboy, any combination of that, I'd be happy with. So I'd be very, very happy to see Al against Justin Gaethje or Al against Connor, and I'd be very happy to see Cowboy against either one of those guys as well.
Right, and Tony Ferguson, obviously, we're not really sure what his whereabouts are, but he's
fighting
in that mix.
Of course.
So.
That'd be interesting. What about Tony Ferguson versus Donald Cerrone?
Yeah.
How crazy with that thing.
Would Ferguson take that fight, though, or does he want the next shot at the belt?
That's the real, like... tough thing and like sad thing about the Tony Ferguson situation. That guy deserved a title shot. He blows his knee out, you know, in a freak accident. And now he's kind of in limbo. But yeah, I mean, if anybody deserves to just like walk into a title fight, it is Tony Ferguson.
It's Ferguson. We don't know when he's going to fight again.
No. So that's still up in the air.
I have to use the bathroom.
All right, good idea, Jimmy.
This bathroom's broke.
It's like our bowels are in sync.
Yes, we're like two women on the same cycle as roommates.
All right.
We can finish up picks. There's a little news, and then we'll talk to Shane Burgos when we get back.
Very excited. Well, I like the way you...
We don't have to talk about the Brunson pick.
How come? Well, we all got that wrong.
Yep. Okay, let's take a break.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Clay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details. All right, we're back. We have to walk down the hall now because this bathroom is not working. I am a fat fuck. I can't stop eating. So mad at myself.
Oh, you're touching your belly.
I'm poking it hard. All right, so Derek Brunson, congratulations. An impressive win over Elias Theodora. We all got that one wrong.
Yeah, were you? So were you guys able to see that fight, Matt? You obviously were getting.
Yeah, I seen it. I seen it in the back. What's that?
No, please go.
No, I was just gonna say I was impressed by Derek. I don't know what you were about to say, but you know he really utilized some of his wrestling there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'll tell you, I mean, Elias, who's a good dude. First of all, I've seen both those guys that week, good guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elias has like a kind of, I say awkward style because compared to everybody else, he fights differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It looks a little odd, but he usually gets the job done. But, you know, Derek had a great game plan, man. And I thought it was definitely a just decision.
Yeah, for sure. I was going to say, Brunson definitely deserves credit because he showed patience. Sometimes he's known to rush in. He did the right stuff there, used his wrestling, like you said. To me, you're right. Elias does have that, you know, we've talked about it, that like offbeat kind of striking style.
Yeah.
This fight in particular, though, I felt like he didn't necessarily throw anything with any malice. It was just to land. You know what I mean? Like it was just for points.
Purpose.
Which... It was, yeah, I mean, I thought he could have thrown a little bit more.
You think he was afraid of Brunson's intentions. Power?
I don't even know if it was that. I think that's just the way he likes to fight. He tries to get in and get out. He doesn't want to get hit, which makes sense, of course. Oh. But I just didn't think he threw anything that looked to the judges like, I'm trying to finish this fight.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, Brunson, this is why it's so hard to pick fights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, the only fight we didn't talk about is... Cub and Shane Burgos, and we all like Cub Swanson.
There. Yeah, which was, again, the 30-27 for Cub was a little...
I mean, Shane Burgos only has one loss. What?
Calvin Kattar, right?
Yep.
The Calvin Kattar, man. That's interesting.
Yeah, no, he's a real up-and-coming guy, and he's probably going to find himself in the top 10 when the rankings come.
How many fights in the UFC does he have?
Let me double-check. I think six.
Man. Five and only six?
I think so. Let me see. Hold on.
And he finished 9 out of his... 12 career wins. He has finishes, Jimmy.
Yeah, he does.
Five and subs two, and three, four. Five.
Yeah, that was his sixth. He's 5-1 in the UFC. So,
all right, man. Well, listen, that's how you make your name, by taking out a dude named Cub Swanson.
Absolutely. And we can ask him, obviously, but I think he really respected Cub. And I think he kind of looked at him as like a, you know, a role model as he was coming up. Kind of.
How
thing.
Old is Cub? He's 36?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, he's still really old. He might be. I think Chris is saying to shut me up.
No, I could be wrong about that. I think he's only... Yeah, no, I think he's 36.
No, I think he's...
No, 35. Oh. He'll be 36 in November.
He's been around forever. That's why guys have been around, they start fighting when they're 18. Like Overeem, you'd think was 58 because of how many fights he's had.
It's absurd, yeah. Well, even Anthony Smith. I mean, he's like 30, 31. He's had, you know, 40 fights. Me and Cub, by the way, no big deal. We share a birthday, November 2nd.
Oh, your birthday. Oh, I missed it this year. Next year, I'll get you something.
Isn't it always weird when there's a person you share a birthday, you feel like there's some kind, but it's like it has nothing to do with anything.
No.
It's only 1 in 365 of the odds.
Right. Right. It's literally meaningless. And he's older than me. So
my birthday is June 2nd.
Oh, coming up.
Guys, Jimmy, I don't want you to get me anything.
Thank God.
But I might want you to have lunch with me or something.
I'm busy.
Fuck. Damn.
I can't do it.
Damn.
Busy.
God damn, man.
I'll take you for
People
lunch.
Think we have such a great, and we do have a good on-air relationship.
I'll be happy to take Matt for lunch for his birthday.
All right. It's that's just, on record.
You
know,
and maybe for your birthday, I'll buy you a little Hulk hat, a little painter's hat with the Hulk on it, a little Hulkamaniac.
Just whatever you do, Jimmy. I don't like it. Whatever you do, don't, and when we're at the restaurant, don't let them come over and start singing. Don't let them, whatever you do, Jimmy, I get embarrassed when you
put,
when you have them
put the little
over.
Birthday hat on, little birthday
no,
boy.
No birthday, but when they come over, go, oh, it's a birthday. And I go, oh, you did me. You didn't do it. You didn't.
Do you like that? No, there's no way you
no.
Like that. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he does like it. I think Matt would love it.
Nice little free dessert.
And I start singing, too. Oh, yeah. It's my birthday.
Yeah, like Bennigan's, happy, happy birthday, happy, however they never sing the fucking song right. Yeah. They always twist it.
Yeah.
Happy, happy birthday. Just sing it.
Everybody, I'm sure, did that to like somebody. It's like the lamest joke when you do that to your buddy and it's not his birthday.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh.
I know.
Lame.
I've done it at bad times, though, like at a wake.
Oh, fuck, Jimmy. Jimmy. I never know what to say at wakes. How are you at that? You go?
Yeah, I do. I always say something wrong.
It is, man. Right? I mean, yeah. It's just like, you know?
Yeah, don't, like, I'll walk in. Sometimes I'm raw. The first thing I'll say is, what time is this thing over? That's what you want to say. How long do I have to be here? I always make sure the person who's got, whoever died, I'm acknowledged quickly by the people who I have to see so they know I was there.
Sure.
Because no one pays attention unless it's somebody you're really close to. So if it's just one of those courtesy things, like your friend's aunt or something, you pop in and get the fuck out.
Yeah?
Oh, I'm fast.
You go in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know.
I'll make a big scene if it's somebody I don't know. Like if it's my, say if it's my friend's grandmother. And I've never met her. I'll cry and wail over the coffin.
And people see if you're okay?
Yeah, I'll just scream and make a giant scene.
No!
Yeah, and then they have to take me out. Then I just get back on the subway and leave.
Yeah, like Uncle Junior. What's the fucking point? Yeah. He's crying in the
background. Oh, yeah. I watched the scene with that the other day out of nowhere. He's like, oh, he's talking about an old lady in there. He's like, she gave me and my friend my first hand job. And he's like, hey, Uncle June. He's like, oh, what am I saying? This poor lady's funeral. It's fucking great, Jimmy.
He was the funniest guy ever.
Did he die?
No.
Oh, sorry.
No. Yeah. No, but his character was just phenomenal.
I need that like I need a case of the crabs. It was so fucking funny.
He was, the first ones were really good with The Sopranos.
Even up to, you know what?
The ending with the dream sequences, you lost me.
It was a little weird. Yeah, it was weird. But he also had dream sequences throughout the whole series with. Hey.
Big Pussy!
Yeah, those were great.
Yeah.
Because they captured what a dream is like. Like, I don't think I've ever seen it done better where you're on the dock and the next thing you know, your friend's on fire, but yep. No one's yelling. They captured that better than
anyone.
You didn't
see that old Gilligan's Island when he had the dream that the giant was after him?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, I
used to have a crush on both Ginger and
the Professor and the Skipper.
No. Ginger and Marianne, and if it was Last Call, maybe Miss Howell.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? You're on an island.
Miss Howell will be like, oh, love me. Like, ah, Miss Howell.
Yeah, you know, Miss Howell would throw you a good one. Fucking well, Jim Backus sat there and watched.
Jim who?
Mr. Howell's real name.
Oh, yeah, he also was Mr.
Magoo. That's a wild pull to be able to.
It really is. Yeah, I know. I can't find a happy relationship, but if you need a name off Gilligan's
Ginger,
Island.
Ginger. Who would you rather date, Ginger or Mary? Who would you rather Ginger. Have relations with?
Yeah. Ginger. I mean, it's an old, Marion's a cornball. Ginger's Hollywood slut, dirty girl.
Janet or Chrissy?
Chrissy. Janet was a bore. Fucking Chrissy was wild.
Don't.
Big giant bosoms. She'd get right in there. She'd laugh. A dumb laugh.
Oh.
You sold him. You sold him with that.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, she'd be great.
Imagine she snorted like that during an orgasm.
Yeah. Fucking Janet and her stupid. She had hair like Ramsay from Game of Thrones.
Towards the end. In the beginning, she was cute.
Yeah, Joyce DeWitt. I'd sleep with her, don't get me wrong, but I preferred, I preferred Chrissy.
Chrissy?
Yeah.
Any of those.
I'll tell you who'd give you a good bang. Mrs. Roper.
Mrs. Roper.
Oh, come on. Stanley would never give it to her. Mrs. Roper would throw you, Miss Roper would throw you a good one.
What about Mr. Roper?
Nah, he didn't want any part of it.
Who'd you like better, Mr. Roper or Furley?
Mr. Roper.
You liked him better than Furley?
Everyone did.
Don Knotts?
He was fine.
Don Knotts used to... You didn't like him? He was the fucking...
No, I'm not saying I didn't like him. I'm just saying if Mr. Roper was the shit.
How many people think... How many people...
Audra Lindley listening. Was Mrs. Roper.
How many people listening know listen that watched Three's Company?
A lot of people over 50 or 40. Right. Any woman I'd want to sleep with has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm out on some of this. Yeah, I don't know.
You just a Three's Company?
I mean, like, I know Three's Company, but I'm not,
I used to watch that and What's Happening. Hey!
I remember What's Happening very well. Fred Berry. Remember Fred Berry played Rerun? He was a real dancer.
Don't bring up the Doobie Brothers concert again.
I won't bring that up.
It's almost like an old shtick on this.
I won't.
We always bring that up.
I won't bring up Dwayne, Haywood Nelson, Raj, Ernest Thomas.
I was going to say, so you brought up Game of Thrones with Frankie. Right. Shane Burgos actually tweeted that he was pumped about Game of Thrones last night. So that's the guy to talk about to.
Yes.
Looks like we are not done
no.
with the Game of Thrones
no,
talk.
Not? It's almost, the show's almost over, so we might as well talk about
why
it.
Why don't we get him in?
I mean, the show Game of Thrones is almost over.
So oh, you're right. And when it's over, they're going to come out with like either prequels or different things.
A prequel. I've had enough of prequels.
Why? Because you know how it ends up?
No, I don't mind that. But I mean, why don't they do something interesting? Like have Jamie Lannister open a fucking horse carriage dealership.
That doesn't sound very entertaining. Yeah.
Like a weird sitcom. Yeah. Jamie Lannister is a horse carriage dealer. Peter Dinklage makes an appearance once in a while.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to have the same... like
the metal hand. Clang, clang.
No. Yeah, every time he makes a sale, he does something with
it. It'll be a sitcom, sale. Though.
Yeah.
Man, I'm not feeling it, man.
All right, I thought it'd be funny.
I'm in. Jimmy? Put it on ABC. Yeah.
What about this weather out in New York, man?
I know, but you know, I leave in the morning to do the Jim and Sam show, so I'm dressed like a fucking homeless guy. I got like heavy coats on in the summer. I was chilly when I left this morning. 53.
Yeah.
Nah, it's pretty nice out, man. Man, put the top down, no ceiling. Mm-mm. I got a new song I'm trying to sing here.
Is it called Let's Get Shane on the Phone?
Yeah, you want to try Shane a couple minutes?
Yeah, let's do that. Shane.
I like to listen. If liking is fuck it. If liking a sing is wrong. Wait, no.
If liking a sing is wrong, you don't want to be right?
How'd you know what I was going to say?
Because I know the expression. If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. From Coming to America.
It is true, man.
By the way.
Sexual chocolate. What?
Godofredo Pepe. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
One of the best names ever.
What'd you just say?
One of the guys, Shane Burgers beat. Godofredo, is that how you say it?
Godofredo Pepe.
Godofredo Pepe. It's such a great name.
He's into the Game of Thrones. You know? Renato Moicano.
I would actually...
He's fighting the Korean zombie.
I might watch a couple of these episodes over again. I want to put the light on. This is what my life is. I want to raise the brightness on my iPad and rewatch because it was so dark, Game of Thrones.
Jimmy, the glass is half full.
And to answer Frankie's question, he wanted to know why they drop in the dragons. You have to. Otherwise, there's nothing interesting about the fight if they just fly over and blow fire on everybody. Who gives a shit?
You only got one left, man. Shit.
I have a feeling that one's gonna fucking eat the dick too.
It's funny. Let's say I predicted
that one. That one will somehow die. And
we got all those crossbows. Keep making more of those motherfuckers. Make more of those big crossbows. What the fuck you doing, man? Make 1,000.
I don't know why she didn't fly over. Just fly behind the ships and fucking blow some fire on them.
Well, that thing looked like it was on a swivel.
Oh, maybe they have to be closer too to blow fire.
Yeah, you get pretty close, and they got some crossbows on a swivel. Is that called a swivel?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a swivel. You know, but I want to hear what Shane thinks about, you know, last night's episode.
That one dragon falling into the ocean was so great.
Think he might have survived?
No.
Got an arrow through the fucking throat. Man, that thing got shot to shit.
Yep.
Good thing Johnny wasn't on that. I call him Johnny now.
Hey, what? We have Shane on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Hey, buddy, we're just talking about Game of Thrones, because I guess you're a fan as well.
What's up, Shane?
Huge fan. What's up, man? How's it going?
Yeah, we talked to Frankie Edgar before, and now did you watch the other night?
Absolutely, man.
I typically don't watch a show. Like I'll watch them like you know once the episodes are out, but this is the only thing I've kind of kept up with from week to week
because
it's in the last season.
Oh, you have to. If you don't, then you're going to get it spoiled online somehow.
Now, Shane, did you read any of the books or anything, or are you just into the show?
I'm just into the show. I mean, I heard the books get a lot more intricate, so maybe when the show's completely done, I'll get into the books, but just the show right now.
And it gets a little different, too, in the books. Shelmy is still alive. Like, some people are alive still, and
I'm going to read them.
I heard that, yeah.
Oh, you're going to read them?
Yeah, like, if you read a book after you see the movie, then you learn more about characters you already like. And like, because they can never do what... if you read the book for... Everyone's like, read the book, like, ah, fuck, the movie's different. But I'll read the books after. The
books are amazing.
Exactly. It's too late now.
Yeah, hey, good. Congratulations, buddy, by the way, on your win. You know, you beat a guy, and obviously Cub's probably a guy that you watch fight as you were coming up.
Oh, 100%.
And is there any mentality for you that's a little bit different when you fight a guy that you've kind of looked up to for a long time? I mean, you know you have to go in there and fight, you have to win, but does that change anything for you?
I mean, literally the first day, like getting the contract and all that stuff, yeah, that was cool. Then as soon as, it set in so quick, and you're just another man at the end of the day, so I didn't put too much stock into it at all.
Now, I know you were Tiger Showman's MMA. Yeah. How did you get started with them? Is that who you got started with?
Yeah, I mean, we started watching The Ultimate Fighter Season 2, and I just became hooked from that season on. I missed the first season, and me and my friend he Googled jiu-jitsu and grappling and kickboxing in the area, and there was only one place. It was Tiger Showman's. I thought they only did karate. Like, no, I said they have grappling classes and kickboxing. So, like, you know, all right, let's do it. Signed up for the 1 month trial back in ninth grade and played the same team for since.
Hey, let me ask you. Now, you're born in the Bronx. Where were you living at the time?
Taylor Avenue. It was a housing project. Wasn't the best neighborhood.
Okay, so did you fight a lot as a kid?
No, not at all. Actually, I got into maybe like one or two little street fights, but nothing crazy at all.
Now, how do you avoid fights when you're living in what is a pretty tough area?
I was young, and I moved out of there when I was in fifth grade.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, right before high school and everything. But
I probably imagine that, you know, getting involved with Tiger Schulman's MMA back then in ninth grade probably helped you not get into any fights compared to like people thinking, oh, now he's training that, maybe he wants to get into fights. How did the martial arts help your mentality as a kid?
100%, man. There's no greater confidence in knowing that you could protect yourself. That is like the ultimate thing that martial arts has given me, that confidence in knowing I can protect myself, I can protect my family, like protect my friends. But I was a huge fan. Everybody knew I trained back in high school, though. Like, I moved up here, upstate New York. But so I would get not picked on, but people would try to press me. But I never got into one high school fight. But people would try to test me a little bit.
Because they know you. Isn't it weird when they know someone can fight, they want to be the guy who beats you?
Yeah, exactly. They'd always talk some smack and stuff, but nobody actually came up to me to actually start.
And how would you get out of those things?
I wouldn't even talk back. Like, all right, if you want to do something, do something. But until then, I'm not going to swing first. But if you break that line, you know that when you're right about to get into a fight, like if you cross that line, then yeah, I'm going to strike first. But I never got, and it never got that far.
Yeah, it's so weird, especially in high school, because people want to save face. Nobody wants, in a while, there's a guy who really wants to fight, but most people want to save face. Including me. Like, I remember one time a bigger kid snatched my hat, and he could have smashed my face, but I snatched it back, so he thought I was ready to fight. But I wasn't. I just, as an instinct, I just snatched my hat back, so I had a shitty haircut. So I snatched my hat back, and he goes, oh, you want to fight? And then I mentioned getting suspended, and then he's like, oh, okay, and we both walked away. But he knew, I was just pussied out.
I wasn't the cool kid in high school or anything. I didn't do any mainstream sports or anything like that. I wasn't really that cool. I had only a couple friends, so, yeah.
So were you into this kind of stuff, like with the Game of Thrones or comic books when you were growing up, or is that something you found later?
No, I definitely wasn't a nerd or anything like that. Like, but I just wasn't that standout jock, cool kid. That wasn't me.
What was your first tattoo?
My first tattoo were the stars I got on my shoulder.
Oh, okay. What made you do it? Anything in particular?
Nothing at all. I just thought it looked cool. And I was like, all right, I'm in Florida, because I think that you can get tattooed here in Florida when you're 17. So my mom let me get tattooed.
Oh, she let you do it?
Yeah, I love tattoos. That's a huge passion of mine, though.
Now, how did you feel about the fight against Cub? I mean, you looked really good. He looked good, too. You clearly won, and you were not happy with the fact that it was a split decision.
Yeah, I felt like it went good. I felt like I watched it back. I felt like I did win all three rounds. He had some good moments, too, but I feel like I did win all three rounds. Split decision 30-27 him, it still doesn't really make too much sense to me. And there's the way MMA is set up, you have a win bonus and a show bonus, and had I lost that fight or got robbed from that fight, I would have had half my money taken away. So that still kind of rubs me the wrong way just thinking about that.
Isn't it crazy how, you look, everybody can see a second or a third round differently, but a 30-27, like sometimes you wonder, how do they see that? What were they watching?
Yeah, 30-27 my way and 30-27 his way. Two completely different scores.
That happened to me one time with my Chris Lytle fight on the end of season four. And
watch that.
It was so when they were going for the last judge, holy shit, man. Because, I mean, I really needed that cash. So, it gets you thinking, like, is everybody watching the same thing? Fight, obviously, but back with my fight, it could have went either way. Yours was definitely more one-sided.
Yeah, when you're in there, I felt like it was a lot more one-sided. I watched it back, and it was a little closer than I thought. But in that moment right there, I had zero doubt. And then hearing that split, I got excited when I won, because all of a sudden I was nervous. Before the judges were calling, I was 100% confident.
Yeah, well, the guys, us, you know, we were in the locker room watching it, and I remember when they did the split, we were too. We were like, wait a minute. You're like, wait, that's not right.
And when you hit 30-27, are you thinking like, oh my God, did I not fucking, did I see this completely wrong as I was fighting?
I mean, my coaches are telling me after every round, they're brutally honest with me. They're like, you're up 2-0, going to the third round. And in the moment, I thought the third round was the closest round because he had my back for a couple, maybe like a minute or something like that. Yeah. So I go back to that for the third round. I was like, what is that, 2-1? Did you get that last round? They're like, no, you definitely got the last round too. And I was like, oh, all right, sweet, clean sweep.
Now, will your coaches tell you, will they tell you when you're behind, like you need, I guess, somebody honest there?
Yeah, they're brutally honest. Yes, yeah, 100%. Yep. All right, you lost that round. All right, I want that. I need to know that. Don't give me any false hope or just shoot me straight.
Right. Well, that would do nobody any good if you're saying, yeah, no. You might have won that one. You know, you got to.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we were doing that with Al. Like, the first two rounds were extremely close with him and Cowboy.
Yeah, they were.
We couldn't be sitting there going, you got that. It was close. Yeah, you know, yeah, and if it's ever close, we always go the other way. Like, look, we need this next one.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's exactly how you have to do it. 100%. Every coach should do it that way.
I'll tell you, Shane. The one time I remember this clearly. The one time it was Merab's fight versus Frankie Saiz.
Yeah,
and I'm like, and I remember being like, all right, dude, you got this. Congratulations. And he was battling like in a flu or something. He still got the guy down a lot.
Yeah.
It was like there was no way he was losing. No way he lost the fight. I felt. That's when I'm like, all right, I'm never doing that again. Because I was after the fight was over, I'm like, congrats, and this and that. And then they gave it to the other guy. It makes you feel worse as a coach. Like, fuck. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's true, man. I didn't really think about that too much. But
so the real question is, and I'm going to ask you about what you think about Jose Aldo versus Alexander Volkanovski in a second. But who the fuck is going to sit on the Iron Throne, Shane? Who's sitting on that fucking thing?
After last night's episode, it might fucking be Cersei, and I'll be pissed if it is, man. After that last episode, I need Khaleesi to get her ass ASAP and avenge Miss Sunday's death, because that was devastating, man.
I'll be honest, I've had enough of Khaleesi and them dumb dragons. I want to see rotten, dirty Cersei. She's a dirty girl.
You like her?
Oh, crazy, she's girl. Naughty.
You're
crazy. I love
her. Crazy. No, somebody's got to get this chick off the Iron Throne, but maybe Jamie. Maybe Jamie's going over there to. I don't know, man. I do not know. But this show is fucking insane. I love it.
It is. It is great. He did just have relations with Brienne.
Oh my god! Yeah.
And then he got the fuck out of there. Maybe he didn't like it.
Yeah. So one thing's gonna happen. I think either Cersei's gonna kill Jamie or Jamie's gonna kill Cersei.
Now everyone is expecting that, so I wonder if they do it. They have a.
Yeah, you're probably right. Honestly, maybe honestly, it'd probably be Tyrion. Probably killer.
I like that. And spoilers. I like that. They're hitting the road again. Fucking the Hound and Arya.
I like that too.
That's the duo right there. That tag team is dangerous.
I'll tell you. I must have watched. It was one of the. Obviously, it's a prior season. And it was when the Hound and Arya walked into the shack with a bunch of Lannister men. Yeah. I must have watched that scene when the Hound's asking for a chicken or. And he's in there, and all you know, and he's fucking.
He takes
taking
the beer.
He takes the drink right from the guy's hand. Oh, it was so beautiful. And he's telling him any more words come out of your cunt mouth. That's one of the things he says to him. Fucking the Hound is great.
He has the best lines too. Oh, you twat. Yes.
You twat.
Yeah.
Right?
He's the man. He's on his way to go kill his brother. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting that.
The mountain.
Why he's going south. I'm so bad, Shane. Like, I've seen every episode. I know five of their names. Matt knows all their names.
Oh, it's hard. It's hard, yeah.
I don't know any of them. I'm like, who's that guy? Is that Bill? Like, I forget all of them.
I rewatched the season three times, and I'm watching it a third time leading up to this season. Me and my wife are just like, oh, that's what they were talking about. Like, you learn stuff. Every time you rewatch it.
It makes more sense. But HBO is known for that. They did that in The Wire. They did it in The Sopranos. They will kill somebody you like. I mean, they really will. So no one is safe.
Totally.
I want to see Khaleesi get it. I mean, Jon Snow I'm a little tired of, too.
I know.
You just root for the villains.
Not always, no. But in this one, Cersei is just so shitty. And she has that short haircut. Oh, she's the best. Yep.
Jimmy, you have dirty thoughts about
soccer mom, the mean soccer mom haircut, right?
Yeah, she really does. She used to have those long locks that everybody spit on her. I'll tell you one thing Game of Thrones did, which I didn't like, is the way they got rid of whatever the religious council was that locked her up.
The Sparrow. High Sparrow, right?
Yes, the Sparrow.
That was great.
Good
you
pull.
Didn't like that? How he got killed?
No, the green explosion was cheesy.
Like
no, because it felt like they cheated.
All I know is
Shane
gave me a new search when I'm going to search for like my alone time by myself.
What?
Mean soccer mom. I'm going to write that down. Thank you, Shane. I have a new search to do later when I'm by myself. Now, listen, Shane, let me change subjects. Give me your thoughts for the UFC 237 featherweight bout between Jose Aldo and Alexander Volkanovski.
That's an awesome fight, man. That's a really, really, really fun fight. It's hard for me to pick against Aldo. The dude is the featherweight goat right now. I feel like Max is on his way to being that. But just what he, the body of work that that Aldo's put in the division for the last 10-plus years, he's goat right now. And he's been looking fresh, man. His last fight against Moicano and the fight before that against Stevens, dude's coming off two big finishes. Volkanovski's coming in hot, too, coming off a big finish over Chad. Yeah. It's a phenomenal fight, but I'm going to have to pick Aldo, but I'm going to pick Aldo by decision. It's a three-round fight, too, so I'm going to go Aldo decision.
And do you think this win, now we don't know if they've updated the rankings, do you think this win puts you at least in the top 15?
I think for sure. If I'm not in top 15, I'd be pretty surprised.
I mean, it really is a very, very tough, I mean, you get, you know, Zabita's number six, you know, what, Yair is 12, Korean Zombie is, what, 13. There's some really, really tough guys in this division, so it's not an easy one to break into the top 15.
Yeah, 100%. It's a stacked division, man. It doesn't get enough credit. I know 170, 155 get a lot of credit for being stacked, but I'd say 145 is, most men are around my size, and that's where the most talent is. Not that the other ones aren't talented, but the top, look at the entire 15. Like, Korean Zombie ranked 13. Like, the entire top 15 is insane.
Yeah, and light heavyweight division is really good, too, lately. Like, not that it was ever shitty, but I think in the last year and a half, the light heavyweight division has gotten a lot more competitive as well.
It's just John Jones is just so dominant. That's why I got that division's hard to get credit for.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think about Santos against Jones? I mean, Jones just seems like he's so unbeatable, but there's something about Santos and the way he's been knocking people out that I think he has a shot at knocking Jones out.
Yeah, he's got a shot against beating anybody, especially if he keeps fighting the way he's been fighting. That reckless style, it's working for him. So, and if he tries to be technical with Jones, I don't think that's going to be good at all. So I feel like if he does get it done, it's going to have to be in the first or second round. So he's going to have to come out like he does, just balls to the wall, going crazy. That might leave himself open for Jones to get a takedown and maybe a submission. So it wouldn't shock me if Jones got a finish early. But I feel like his best bet is to get a finish in the first or second round.
Yeah, I think you're right. And also, we just talked to Frankie, too. And again, because at one point Max, I think, was out, and then Frankie had gotten, was hurt, and then there was the Ortega thing. And we're thinking that Frankie definitely deserves the next shot at Max for the championship.
Yeah, it makes sense. This fight had never happened, and it's an awesome fight on paper, too.
It is, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen, man, do you have anything lined up? Who are you looking at next? I mean, I know you'll probably take whoever they give you, but is there anybody you have your eye on?
No, man, look at the whole division. I don't care, man. Like I said, it's stacked, so I'm going to get somebody good next. I expect somebody good next.
Yeah.
And after you take that dude out, Shane, get a name on your tongue, and you don't got to be a shit talker, but your fights are entertaining enough. So, but get a name on your tongue and don't feel bad about calling somebody out.
Sure.
Because what's the worst that could happen? The guy's going to want to fight you? That's what you want.
You got a point.
That's true.
How about you against Lamas? That'd be a nice fight.
He's fighting one of my old opponents, Qatar. So I think that's in June 8th.
Oh, is he already lined up with a fight?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you got a fight. Yep.
And I'll be there, too.
Yeah, his your only loss was to Calvin.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, congratulations. It was a really, really good fight, and I'm happy you got the win. I think you deserved it.
Yeah, Shane, good job.
Thank you, guys,
man.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Congrats to you, too. Marab did awesome. Al is tough as nails.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate that, man.
I'm going to take Matt's congrats. Even though you're congratulating Matt, I'm going to take it just because I'm here with Matt, so I'm kind of a support system for Matt. So I'll take part of that.
Congrats on all the success you're getting, too, and all those little videos you're making, man. They get a lot of retweets.
Oh, man. Who's that, for me or for Jimmy? Both
no, for Robin.
For Robin?
Who?
Robin Quivers?
Robin Black. I thought I was talking to Robin Black the whole time.
Yo, Shane, do you know Shane, hold on a second. This is fucking so classic.
This is awesome.
Shane, who are you talking to now?
He knows it's you.
No, I know
it's Sarah, and I thought the other guy was Robin Black.
Who's Robin Black?
No, Robin Black's a good dude.
He's an MMA.
Analyst. I don't know him.
No, you're talking to, it's me, buddy, and comedian Jim Norton.
Oh, Jim Norton. I knew it was Sarah. I could tell by your voice.
Thanks.
Dude, Norton, you sound exactly like Robin Black.
You do, Jim.
Oh,
Jimmy.
I don't know him. Okay. I don't even fault Shane for that. You figure, our producer would tell him who he's talking to.
That's embarrassing, but yeah.
Nah, Shane, believe me, it's perfectly fine. Yeah. As long as you knew that you were talking to me, I don't care.
That really is all that matters. You knew that, Matt. All right, listen. Listen, Yair, it was good talking to you.
Yeah. It's messed up.
And congratulations, Shane. Great fight, all right?
Yeah, good job,
Thank
Shane.
You guys.
All right, be good, man.
Appreciate it.
Take care, bro.
Bye.
Bye.
That was great.
Yeah.
Nice kid, man.
Yeah.
Nice kid.
But at least, you know what? I'll say this. At least we didn't take the compliment and be phony about it and go, well, yeah, my videos. Like, wait a minute, didn't we?
Right. You know what? That's actually a nice compliment because Robin Black knows what he's talking about, so that's good.
Well, I thought he was talking about, when he said the videos get retweeted, I'm like, wait, what? I'm not on Twitter.
Right.
So yeah. Maybe he just threw that up and maybe he thought just my videos.
Got us both all hopeful. Like, maybe people are talking about us.
Oh, who's?
We're just crushed. We're just crushed.
Robin Black's a nice guy, though.
Is he good?
He's a good dude. Okay. But isn't he English or something?
Yeah, he has a bit of an accent. I don't know.
I don't know
exactly,
where he's
he does
from.
Have an accent. Yeah,
but nice guy.
Yes,
and he's knowledgeable with the mixed martial arts. All right. Well, listen, are we done with our picks?
We're done.
We are. Yeah. So for this event,
I 3 points. I got 3.
He got 3 points. He went 1 for 6. Jim Norton. Disgusting. You're on a skid lately.
A skid.
Yeah.
That's what you call it when someone drives off a bridge. Skid. I'm plummeting.
you are, Matt. You went 2 for 6. I went 3 for 6.
So we all did shitty.
Yeah, and so we start over. So we're starting May off not great. I mean, I went 50%, so that's fine.
That's
I'm
good.
Happy with that. But
yeah,
all right.
All right. Well, this was fun. See you Wednesday,
right. Jimmy. No, you can't end on such a bad energy.
Why?
Yeah, I don't see why not. All right, goodbye.
All right, now remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/UFC Unfiltered, or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.